go.
All right. Good evening. We'd like to call the February meeting of the Lafayette City Council to order. If we could ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, and if we could ask St. Mary's Boy Scout Cub Scout Pack 3326 to lead us in the pledge, that would be great. Thank you.
You want to come up here?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We appreciate you doing that for us.
Good job, guys.
Thank you, John.
Will you do the roll call, please?
Blinker.
Here.
Nargi.
Here.
Snyder.
Present.
Reynolds. Weiss.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Allersmeyer.
Here.
Downing.
Here.
Williamson.
Here.
Warren present.
Thank you. First order of business is approval of the minutes from our regular January 5th, 2026 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? All right, seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. All right, presentation and disposal of claims.
There are none.
Presentation of petitions and communications.
There are none.
Reports of city offices on file in the city clerk's office.
Fleet maintenance monthly December, renewed department monthly December, and waterworks department monthly December.
And those are all on file in the city clerk's office if you're interested. We have no ordinances for second reading tonight. We do have two ordinances for first reading.
Ordinance 2026-01, an ordinance establishing the Southeast TIF Industrial TIF Fund number 47.
It's a pleasure of the council.
Move we hear ordinance 2026-01 on first reading.
Second.
Thank you.
You should be aware, we do have two TIF areas that are shared between the city of Lafayette and Tippecanoe County. There's a city of Lafayette TIF area known as the McCarty Lane TIF, and then the county has one that is the Southeast Industrial TIF. Since 2001, we have shared the revenues of both of those TIF funds between each other, between the city and the county. We've paid those claims by submitting individual invoices over to the other entity for them to be paid and processed, which is a bit administratively cumbersome. So what this ordinance does is there is an agreement now between the city and the county, whereas instead of each other party's invoice is being sent to the other for processing, they're just going to distribute out our half of the income to us when they receive it, just like we will distribute our half of the McCarty TIF to them as we receive it. But in order to do that, we have to have a landing fund for the Southeast TIF revenue, which we'd never received directly. So what this ordinance does is basically just establish the Southeast TIF fund so that we can get that money from the county. And everybody at the controller's office isn't here this evening, but they will agree that it'll be much easier administratively for everyone moving forward. It does not change policy, payment, how it's spent, what it's spent on. It's literally just administrative.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the council? Any public comment to this ordinance? Seeing none, I think we're ready for a roll call vote.
Blinker.
Aye.
Snyder.
Aye.
Nargi.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Allersmeyer.
Aye.
Downey.
Aye.
Ordinance passes 7-0.
Thank you. We're now ready for ordinance 2026-02.
An ordinance to amend ordinance 2025-37, an ordinance fixing the salaries of the appointed officers and employees of the city of Lafayette, Indiana, other than sworn protective occupation and law enforcement members of the police and fire department.
Thank you.
I move we hear ordinance 2026-02.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor?
Madam President, there is three changes within this ordinance, and I'll bring those to your attention. The first one is we will delete the position of Director of Operations and Projects. That's an exact one. This is in the Parks Department. We had an opening become available, and after consideration, as we always do when we look at positions, duty assignments, how we divide tasks, we feel that we can delete that position. And then in its place, add the position of Outdoor Recreation and Athletics Coordinator. As you will see, that moves the one position from an exec one to the second position to a PAT three. That should save us about $35,000 a year. And so we will be asking for your approval on that. We also want to rename the position of Aquatics and Equipment Supervisor, LTC 4, to Maintenance Technician. That will also be an LTC 4, so no change in classification, but maybe change in assignments as we see necessary for the efficient operations of the Parks Department. And in the Police Department, we want to rename the position of Uniform Division Technician. As you probably all saw, Kelly Four recently retired after 37 years with the City of Lafayette and the Police Department. We certainly appreciate her time, but we'd like to rename that now after kind of looking through the job description and some of the other jobs in the Police Department. We want to rename that to Administrative Assistant. It is currently a PAT 3, and it will a PAT 2, and it will remain a PAT 2. Just we're going to change up the duties a little bit and the title. So we would appreciate your support on those. Like I said, all those changes do not add anything to the budget. It actually reduces the current budget.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments from the council? No, seeing none. Any questions or comments from the general public? All right, seeing none, we're ready for a roll call vote.
Blinker.
Aye.
Snyder.
Aye.
Nargi.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Allersmeyer.
Aye.
Downing.
Aye.
Ordinance passes 7-0.
All right, thank you. And we have no resolutions this evening. We do, under miscellaneous and new business, have some council appointments we need to make. We need to appoint Dave Moulton to the redevelopment for a one-year term. Frank Donaldson, redevelopment, one-year term. Jim Gothard, Fire Merit Commission, four-year term. And Terry Gilbert to the library board for a four-year term.
Madam President, I move that we approve all these all council appointments as stated on our form here.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Reports of standing committees, reports of special committees, report by the mayor. We're ready for your State of the City address, please.
Okay. Well, I got good news and bad news. Remember that one I gave that was like 34 minutes long? It's shorter now.
Oh, yeah. 33, right?
You remember how I promised Cindy I'd get it 15 minutes or less? I didn't make it. So you have to guess. It's somewhere in between there.
That's because you're doing a lot.
So, take you over. Madam President, Madam Clerk, members of the City Council, and all the citizens of Lafayette, it's my honor to deliver my State of the City address to you this evening. I'd like to thank the City Council, our City Clerk, Cindy Murray, and all our boards and commissions, department heads, citizens, and other elected officials who work together for our community. I'd like to give the glory and thanks to God for his guidance, wisdom, and strength, and for blessing our community. I want to thank my wife, Tanya, and my family for their unwavering support, which I'm getting ready to start my 44th year of being here at the City of Lafayette between being a policeman and the mayor. Yeah, it means everything to me, so thank you to my family. I am pleased to report that we continue to be in a strong financial position. The current rainy day fund is $10,097,976. And by creating a favorable economic environment, we see our edit funds continue to grow. At this time, we have $7,880,000 in unallocated edit reserves. This brings our total reserves to $17,977,976, which is 31.2% of the general fund and 18.7% of the overall city budget. So both of those, all those numbers are up slightly over last year, so we're trending in a positive direction. I'm also pleased to report that this year we held the tax rate steady. Technically, we dropped it a little, but since it was only 1.0461 to 1.0459, I thought it might be more accurate just to say we held it. That's about 1/1000th of a penny or something. So, but the good news is, with that, in the last 4 years, we've lowered our tax rate by 9.26%. So we continue again to trend in a positive direction. Public safety continues to be our number one priority. The police department continues to provide outstanding services. The overall Part 1 crimes continue to drop. Investigations are done with excellence, perseverance, and integrity. The 2025-2026 strategic initiatives and accomplishments are as follows. Integrated community support and outreach. Launched a multidisciplinary outreach team, integrating a specialized victim services coordinator, our resource navigator, and homeless outreach coordinator. This holistic approach ensures that law enforcement response is paired with long-term support and crisis resources. Precision policing and violent crime reduction. Leverage cutting-edge investigative technology alongside specialized detective and operations units to aggressively target gun violence and gun and crimes of violence. By fostering strong community partnership, we have enhanced our ability to identify, apprehend, and prosecute high-level offenders. Integrated the real-time crime center in the public safety building into our operational intelligence and daily planning to accelerate identification and apprehension of violent offenders. We've deployed the latest forensic best practices to our civilian crime scene teams to enhance the quality of our criminal prosecution. At this time, I'm just going to quickly, you all should have received three graphs that pertain to law enforcement. The first one that I'd like to bring your attention says on the bottom, the 2002 to 2025 summary table for all incidents reported. That's the type 1 crimes, homicide, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, larceny, auto theft, and arson. So those are the most important ones, and those are the ones we're required to report to the FBI. I'm pleased to, and we'll have a graph in a minute to show, those continue to grow down. In 2025, the total was 1,573. If you go back clear to 2002, that total was 3,400. We have literally cut those crimes basically in half in our community. And so that chart's for you to look through, and you can look at each year, each category. You can compare when you have an opportunity to do that. The next one I'd like to bring you to your attention is trends in NIRS reporting incidents versus population. So if you take those same numbers and you go back to 2002, the population of the city of Lafayette was 60,600. Come up to 2025, you'll see it's 71,700. And I think we would all agree that we got way undercounted in the census. Mm-hmm. But that's the number we'll use for transparency and to make sure we're bringing attention to the numbers that we have. So you can look that the Part 1 crimes are at 1573, so a huge overall drop, even though the population has went up significantly over that same time period. And then the last one that I'd call to your attention, and I just really want to give the police department, man, just the things that we've talked about, Chief Galloway's leadership. You know, they have really focused on firearms crimes and crimes of violence. That chart shows you that you have in front of you the number of incidents where there was a shooting, but no one was injured, a shooting where someone was injured, and then a homicide. And you can see the dramatic decrease in those overall incidents. At the same time, you can see a dramatic increase in the percentage of arrests we're making. So if you go back to, say, 2019, 2020, we were arresting not quite 30% of the people involved in those crimes. through a tremendous amount of work and new technology and the support of all of you on the new public safety building and what we're over to do over there with the major crimes units and those things, those numbers have dropped dramatically, the number of incidents, and the amount of arrest is all the way up to 65%. So just a tremendous job the police department is doing and is making a noticeable difference in our community. And so I won't go over those each year, year by year, but those are good reference material for the council in the future. Recruitment and talent retention. Achieved significant recruitment and retention milestones through a strategic salary increase. This investment ensures that LPD remains a premier agency, allowing us to retain our most experienced talent while attracting the highest quality new recruits in a very competitive market. Specialized event management and public safety. Enhanced special event public safety by dedicating specialized resources to comprehensive operational planning. Through rigorous coordination with event organizers and the deployment of our newly acquired advanced barrier systems, we have ensured the safety of thousands of attendees at citywide events. We modernized community and engagement and media. Revolutionized departmental transparency through the use of designated marketing manager and professional grade content and creation tools. By utilizing sophisticated hardware and software, we provide real-time creative and engaging information to our community via social media and digital platforms. So again, just a huge thank you to the police and to the men and women of the police department and all they're doing. The Lafayette Fire Department continued to have an ISO rating of 2, which we all know, most of you have been here for a while now, that is a tremendous accomplishment throughout the entire United States. It puts us in about the top 5% of all the fire departments in the country. So tremendous job there with Chief Alkier and his leadership. This year, the Lafayette Fire Department continued to meet the growing needs of our community through strong leadership, strategic planning, and ongoing investment in people, facilities, and equipment. In 2025, the department responded to 8,215 emergency incidents, an increase of 256 calls over the previous year, demonstrating the growth of our city. To meet these demands, our firefighters completed more than 26,000 hours of training, ensuring they remain prepared, professional, and ready to respond at the highest level. A major milestone this year was the relocation of the Lafayette Fire Department headquarters into Lafayette City Hall. This move established a public safety campus, improving communication and coordination with the Lafayette Police Department and other city departments while providing the fire department with modern technology to enhance operations, information sharing, and incident management. The department also continued to invest in its emergency response capabilities. Three fire apparatus are currently on order, with two scheduled for delivery in 2027 and one in 2028. Looking ahead, planning will begin in 2026 for the replacement of an aerial apparatus with a targeted delivery in 2030. And yes, that's correct. That's how long it's taking to get fire trucks now, about 4 to 5 years from the time that you order them. Their Special Operations Division, through public-private partnerships, purchased new hazardous material response equipment, including gas detectors, leak detector meters, spectrometers, and multi-hazard protective suits. These upgrades enhance the department's ability to safely respond to complex and high-risk incidents. An officer development program was implemented for all current officers, with plans to extend this training to aspiring officers in 2026. As Lafayette continues to grow, the fire department has begun identifying property for a new fire station to ensure response time and coverage keep pace with development. At the same time, discussions are underway to address future staffing needs, including moving towards 4 firefighters per apparatus, which will improve outcomes for both our residents and our firefighters. Together, these accomplishments reflect the Lafayette Fire Department's continued commitment to safety, innovation, responsible planning, and the protection of our community today and in years ahead. So, again, I want to thank the fire department also for all the work that they're doing to keep up with the growth of our community. We continue our progressive approach to infrastructure and development with the following projects. Park East Boulevard, McCarty to Haggerty, near completion, will officially open in the spring. Development of a new well field, we are in the process of exploration. Installing two new wells at Glick, we are in the final design phase and construction will be this year. Improvements to Veterans Memorial Parkway between US 52 and State Road 38, all completed. The Public Works Campus is completed and fully operational. We are investing nearly $45 million in Service Area 11A and 11B for growth opportunities. It will initially open about 1,000 acres and 5,200 acres over time. Service Area 11A and 11B are nearly completed. We are beginning the final project of the CSO long-term control plan, which is a rapid treatment facility, which now is under construction, and that is about a $51 million project. The John Perdue block is under construction downtown and progressing nicely. The final phase of streetscape for Main Street is completed. We'll do some things on the sides now, but Main Street is done. The vibrancy of downtown continues to grow with new investments, Star City Nights Festival, the live music series, and the Dora. Snowy Owl Affordable Senior Housing has been completed, and this council gave an abatement on that project for our seniors. Jeffersonian Affordable Senior Living is completed. There's Lafayette Housing Authority vouchers in that and ready funds. Improvements to McCarty Lane, the CAT interest, and the Public Works Campus interest will all begin in 2026, so you'll see significant work on McCarty Lane this year. South Street, Phase 1, the South Street Railroad Crossing Upgrade Project will make this area safer and more welcoming for everyone who travels throughout the corridor. The project will improve drainage, replace concrete barriers with landscape medians, upgrade the railroad crossing, add street lighting, extend existing trails from Sagamore Parkway across the tracks to the post office signal. A new traffic signal at Hanneman Drive will make turning movement safer and improve the access of the area businesses. The project will bid later this spring, and it's expected to be completed by fall, setting the stage for future South Street improvements extending eastwards towards the I-65 exchange. If you haven't been by there, John Teeble now has 5 homes completed in the rail corridor just off west of 4th Street. Wow, what a difference. I saw Liz Solberg the other day and was telling her all about it. I said, sometimes it takes a long time for things to come around, but it did. John's also starting homes now on the east side of 4th Street in the old rail corridor. Element 26 housing project at the corner of South and 26th Streets is under construction, and if you haven't been by there, it is dramatically changing the look of that corner. Also, at the old pub site, we're excited about this. That's a project that will be owner-occupied townhomes. John Teeble is also doing that project, and that construction will start in the spring as soon as we get the weather to warm up. The steel site, also known as Gateway 65 Business Park, is a 300-acre industrial site across from State Road 38 from Subaru, that's Subaru there. We have partnered with Tippecanoe County and the developer to make this 300-acre site ready for development. The first project will be to establish a new access drive to State Road 38 at the Eastern Subaru Signal, including new turn lanes and railroad crossing infrastructure. The contract for this work has been awarded to Reith Riley, and that construction should begin this spring, with completion by fall of 2026. While a subsequent project to extend water mains and establish a stormwater outfall is expected to bid late spring and constructed this summer. South 9th Street Improvement Projects. It's in two phases. In all, it will run from just about Twickenham there up to Veterans Memorial Parkway, and that will widen that street and put in a new bridge and new trails, and will greatly enhance traffic flow and pedestrian safety and access. This year, we also have a really big project going on. We will begin the rehabilitation of the John T. Myers Bridge. So that will be closed for the summer with just some walking area through it while we do some structural strengthening, and then mostly a large painting job. We're going to paint the underneath, get all rid of all the rust and make sure everything's okay, and paint the underneath side. That's a fairly large project, and we're splitting that cost with the city of West Lafayette. I would be remiss if I didn't thank Dave Hunke and all his team. We had a wonderful celebration of our bicentennial this year, and to thank everyone in the city who helped participate, all the donors who have made the bicentennial piece of art right there at 9th and South a reality. We raised all the money that we needed for that, for all the piece of art itself, the landscaping, the sidewalks, the donor recognition, and the ability to start an endowment through the Lafayette Community Foundation to help make sure we can always fund the maintenance on our public art. So, and there are no tax dollars involved at that all. That was all done with private donations. So we're very pleased about that. Parks and Recreation, the primate exhibit is under construction and is expected to open in 2027. We installed new equipment at the Hedgewood and Woodfield Parks. The carousel will be installed this spring and ready for Memorial Day weekend opening. The trail along the Sagamore Parkway was finished from Duncan Road over to the Sagamore Bridge. And in 2025, we cut the final ribbon on all the phases of McCall Park. So I don't know if you've been out there when the weather's nice, it's beautiful. And there's so many people using the dog park and the pickleball court, the trails, the base stuff we hit, the baseball fields. It's really, really neat. So we are fortunate to live in a thriving, growing community filled with opportunities from small business and entrepreneurs to large-scale industries that continue to invest in our citizens and our region. However, we must remain vigilant in competing for jobs and investments in today's global economy. I'm pleased to report that companies continue to choose Lafayette for expansion of existing companies and investment from new businesses. Right now, some of the big things we have going on, Subaru Automotive, continued multi-year reinvestment in the Lafayette operations, including retooling for next generation hybrid vehicle production. So Cindy and I were actually at Subaru today. The first Forester hybrid rolled off the line. So they've got that all done, and the first one rolled off the line today. So again, thank you to the council for your investments in Subaru. They can continue to pay off. Subaru also installed a 204-kilowatt rooftop solar array in 2025 to support plant operations, reinforcing SIA's commitment to sustainable manufacturing. GE Aerospace, the Lafayette facility, invested $5 million in facility upgrades, tooling, and equipment to support growing demand for aircraft engine assembly and overhaul. Caterpillar, large engine, Lafayette, as you know, they announced the $725 million capital expansion to increase engine production capacity at the Lafayette facility, and it supports growing national and global power generation demand. I can tell you from our staff meeting today that some of the office area is waiting final inspection. It's moving along very well. The third and final phase of the loading dock area is moving along, so that $725 million project is moving along nicely, and that leads to some of that new work we're going to do on McCarty Lane to get all those trucks in and out. So Sustainia. Sustainia, as you know, is about a $400 million investment, large-scale future manufacturing project advancing through all the approvals. It's a bio-industrial manufacturing. You use a plant-based material, corn, to create biomag. This positions Lafayette at the forefront of plant-based bio-industrial materials. It has very good long-term job creation and supply chain prospects. A little bit about entrepreneurs and startup. Prediction Guard, Lafayette, and based AI-based company, raised a multi-million-dollar seed round in 2025. It builds and secures generative AI infrastructure for regulated enterprise environments. Workforce and talent competitive. Working with GLC, you know we've been working on a talent attraction campaign, and we're doing it a little bit different. This one's a little bit different. It launched, and it's really targeted at employers and skilled workers within the region and within a regional drive time, and it's focused on real job openings, not just, you know, a lot of time, which is important. We promote quality of life, quality of place. This is a talent attraction based on true job openings in the community. The Greater Lafayette Summer Intern Experience, which I got to participate in some of those. It's a new program designed to help retain interns and early career professionals by pairing work experience with intentional community engagement, supports long-term talent retention for local employers. So we want to thank Greater Lafayette Commerce for taking the lead on those and working with all the local units of government to make those projects a reality. Small business and Main Street momentum, as you know, and I'm going to read a little fast. I can see it on your face. We started that retail pop-up down at 6th and Main. It used to be the old Goat Pub, not really contributing to downtown, but now it is. It's a pop-up for local retailers, kind of like we did with the public safety building on the side over there with the little retail space where folks can go in there, test their concept, build customers, validate demand, you know, before committing to long-term leases. With short-term leases, very, very reasonable. Just the outside of the building looks great. If you haven't walked by there, look at it. It totally changed the appearance of that corner. So it's really neat. Farmers Market's going well. They've expanded to 100 vendors, 26 new this season, and they've launched their winter market. So tax abatements at a snapshot, most relevant active abatements for 2025, Caterpillar, Subaru, GE, Aerospace, Wabash National, Ray Magnet, Houston Electric, and Sustainia. We also celebrated 23 small businesses that were either brand new or had expanded their businesses here in Lafayette. As we reflect on the progress made over the past year, it's clear that Lafayette continues to thrive because of our shared commitment to excellence, innovation, and collaboration. From maintaining a strong financial position and lowering tax rates to advancing public safety initiatives and investing in critical infrastructure, we have laid a solid foundation for sustained growth. Our efforts to modernize city services, strengthen emergency response capabilities, and enhance quality of life demonstrates that Lafayette is not only meeting today's challenges, but preparing for tomorrow's opportunities. Looking ahead, we will continue to build on this momentum by fostering economic development, supporting local businesses, and ensuring that our neighborhoods remain safe, vibrant, and welcoming. Together, we will embrace new technologies, expand workforce opportunities, pursue strategic investments that keep Lafayette competitive in a global economy. I am confident that the future of Lafayette is bright and that we will continue to grow as a community where families, businesses, and innovation flourish. So, again, thank you to all my staff. Thank you to Cindy, all of you, redevelopment. This is truly a team, right? You don't get all this done without a large group of people working together, and I'm honored and just really, really proud to be a part of that with all of you. So, how long, Cindy? Oh, gee, all right. I tried. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
I only saw one of the Boy Scouts yawn once.
Are there any reports of the councilman this evening? Okay, then we're up to public.
Oh, go ahead. We got it.
Oh.
I was just going to thank, we had a difficult event in the last month in our community and wanted to thank the hard work of the law enforcement agencies and Tippecanoe County and the prosecutor's office, and very professional and diligent work. So thank you very much, guys.
All right. Thank you.
And I wanted to echo that and also state that while this was a high-profile case, I know that the police department does a lot of work on a lot of cases throughout the years, and are unsung heroes, and no one ever knows about that. Having gone to a lot of the swearing-in ceremonies, I see where officers are commended for various actions throughout the year, that unsung heroes that they are. And I appreciate the fact that the council and the mayor and Cindy invested in that wonderful building over there. But it's only as good as the people that are in it. And I want the citizens of Lafayette to know that we have men and women over there who go about their duties day after day, putting their lives on the line for us to make sure that we citizens of Lafayette are safe and secure, and they don't get the adulation that they should. And so while we're very proud of all of this employees of the city of Lafayette, obviously, I want to take this time to say thank you not only for what you did on this latest thing, but for what you do every day to make sure that we are safe in this community. God bless you.
Thank you. We are now up to the public comment portion of our meeting, and I'm just going to read the statement. We welcome public comment and encourage active participation at this meeting. However, in order to proceed efficiently, public comment will be limited to two areas of this meeting. First, there will be an opportunity for public comment on ordinances or resolutions currently before the council. These comments should be limited to 3 minutes in length and be germane and relevant to the ordinance or resolution. At the end of the meeting, time will be reserved for public comment on any issue or concern you may have. Please remember to keep your comments concise and limited to 3 minutes. Public comment is not an opportunity for you to personally attack other attendees, council members, or city officials. Again, all participants are required to maintain a high level of civility, respect, and courtesy for everyone present. Any participant who, upon their third warning, persists in a discourteous or hostile manner which may disrupt the meeting will be asked to leave. Any form of physical or verbal threats, intimidation, or violence will result in immediate removal. This is your opportunity to contribute to the community and assist the council in addressing issues that are important to the city of Lafayette. Is there any public comment this evening?
Pearl Speakman, 923 South 22nd Street, Lafayette, Indiana. First of all, I want to thank Miss Cindy Murray and whoever else got the handicapped parking spot back for us parking people, for disabled. And the next thing I want to say is 2013 was a real rough year for me. I lost $1,400 because the mayor's cops, Charlie Williams, called his own wrecker, and my truck ended up out to Joey's with a transmission driver, and I had to pay for it. Monday, between 2 and 4 p.m., by the Chase Bank and Home Depot, I broke down. I was in the lane, out of traffic, some little smart cop, number, the way he didn't introduce himself, he didn't say nothing.
Now, be respectful.
Well, I'm being respectful. You respect me. You respect me and tell me who you are. If you come up here, you're going to talk to me, or you're going to talk to me like a man. I was in the Vietnam War. I didn't play with the uniforms like they got on. So, now, anyhow, he come up there. I told him the situation was taken care of. I had a wrecker on the way. So he goes back and sets in his cruiser 5 minutes. He comes back up. I'm going to call a wrecker and get you towed. Come on. Get back and get your diaper on. And the thing of it was, the situation was already taken care of. So finally, I said, who's going to pay for the wrecker? You are. No, sorry. You called a wrecker, you pay for it. And you pay for my transmission if they tear it up. Now, I had this in 2013. The mayor knows it, because the mayor even had me thrown in jail overnight. So now, here I am. I'm telling you. You got dirty pool going on in the police department. The chief won't listen. And If I can't sit there and wait 20 minutes for a record, why do you guys let the guy up on 806 South Union Street? He parked cars across the public sidewalk for 8 hours at a time. But I can't do. I didn't break that truck down, but he parked them trucks, them vehicles up there. You people are not doing equal rights or civil rights to the one. Every one of you need to go to school. When I went to school, when I went to work for the state of Indiana, I made one mistake. I had to go to civil rights school, equal rights school. The only two departments that treats me civil around here is Cindy's department and the secretaries in the department.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any other public comment for this evening?
Lloyd Wells, 3717 Rawlings Drive. Most of the time I get that people come up here either asking for something or complaining about something. I want to do it a little differently. I want to thank all of you who have done a fantastic job over the last several years. I turn on the television and I hear what I hear about all the towns around the country and the way they are. And I realize I live in heaven. And so, anyway, you people do a good job. Stub your toe once in a while, but don't we all. So, anyway, I just want you to know that not everybody is complaining. With some of us are very, very thankful.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was very nice. Any other public comment this evening? Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, members of the council. My name is Noah Berger. I'm at 2222 South Haven Boulevard here in Lafayette in the township of Weah. As we move into these spring months, I think many of us expect that the protests we've seen in our community in the last year will begin again, given the current political climate. I want to be very clear at the outset that I fully support the rights protected by the First Amendment, the right to free speech, peaceful assembly, and the right to petition the government, just to name a few. Those rights are fundamental, and they should be respected at all costs. At the same time, I'm also concerned about something that often doesn't get discussed publicly, the cost associated with managing these events. When protests require additional police presence, traffic control, overtime, and public works involvement, there is a real financial impact. Those expenses are ultimately paid by the taxpayers of this community. With Senate Bill 1 already placing tighter limits on local government budgets, I believe it's reasonable for citizens to ask for greater transparency about how much these events are costing and how those costs are being tracked. If this information is not already readily available, which I couldn't find anything on it, I would respectfully ask that the city conduct a review of the costs associated with these events in 2025 and make that information available to the public. I also hope that similar expenses are being tracked carefully as part of the current budget process. Looking ahead, it seems likely that these protests and possibly counter-protests will continue. As future budgets are discussed, I hope the council will consider planning for these events and ensuring that their direct and indirect costs are documented and shared with the public. This is not about limiting anybody's rights. It is simply just about transparency, fiscal responsibility, and making sure taxpayers understand how their money is being spent. But I would also like to reiterate what this last gentleman had just said. I enjoy living in Lafayette. I just moved here a few years ago. Me and my wife, we're starting a family here. So I enjoy living in the city. It's been a good city to me so far, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention and hopefully maybe we can get a little bit more clarity on what those costs were. I have a colleague of mine who went to the county and got those same reports, and Sheriff Goldsmith was really, you know, welcoming and transparent with what the costs were associated with those protests that took place in 2025. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment. Yep. Good
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Cindy Pratt. I live at 3624 Sunnyview Drive. Before that, I lived in Lazy Lane over in Jesco Hills. Been here a long time, and I want to thank you all for the job you're doing. I'm sure it's not always easy. I do want to agree with Noah. I thought he had a really good point. I think it's good to be able to see where our tax dollars are going. I was thrilled to hear we have such a reserve and a fund. But I think it's good also to know where our tax dollars are going. I do have a little concern about all the growth that's going on. Just want to make sure you guys, and I'm sure you are too, watching our infrastructure. I see traffic. To me, traffic's getting a lot worse. I don't really enjoy the growth that we've had. So I just kind of like for us to kind of keep an eye on that. I'm sure you all are. But it seems like things are just kind of going a little haywire as far as I'm concerned with the amount of growth. But I do love the transparency idea. I think that'd be great. So I second Noah on that. And again, I thank you for your time and the service you guys have all put in for the amount of hours and years that you've been here. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the general public? All right.
Seeing none. Move for adjournment.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. We'll see you in March. Mm-hmm.